Search on the web today for Alaska and volcano, and you'll see some amazing pictures of a lava flow down the slope of Mount Shishaldin in the Aleutian Islands, glowing orange in the dim winter light. Volcanic eruptions on land are something to behold. With undersea or submarine eruptions, there's often nothing to behold. There are plenty of volcanoes on the ocean floor, and because they're down there, we don't get to see them unless we go looking for them, which is exactly what William Chadwick does at the Hatfield Marine Science Center of Oregon State University. Bill Chadwick was part of a team that confirmed the deepest eruption ever discovered, 14,700 feet below the surface of the Pacific. Chadwick and company published their findings in October. He joins us now. Bill Chadwick, thanks for joining us.
You know, I'm very happy to be with you. Thanks for your call.
Oh, sure. Let's start with your own interest in volcanoes. I understand Mount St. Helens blew while you were in college.
Yeah, that's right. I was majoring in geology, so interested in that very much. And I was in Colorado, and a little bit of ash fell from the Mount St. Helens eruption. And that really sparked my interest. And I've been studying volcanoes ever since.
So you were a geology major. This sort of confirmed your decision.
Right, and I actually got to work as a field assistant with the U.S. Geological Survey working at Mount St. Helens after college for a few years, and that was super exciting. Went to graduate school to get a Ph.D. in geology, and since then I've mostly been studying volcanoes in the ocean. As you said, there's actually more eruptions in the ocean than on land, but they're hidden from sight, so we know very little about them. So I've spent most of my career trying to learn as much as we can about these kind of underappreciated events on the Earth.
Are we still pretty much early in our understanding of undersea volcanoes?
Yeah, we're learning more all the time. As an example, in 1990... not a single eruption in the deep ocean had been documented as it was happening, even though many are happening every year. And then since then, there have probably been about 50. So we've been figuring out the tools we need to detect some of these things and of course, using advanced technologies to go and explore the recent eruption sites. So we've learned a lot in the last few decades.
Bill, what kinds of equipment will detect an undersea eruption?
Well, sometimes it's a bit of luck. Like the first deep sea eruption that was documented was discovered simply by remapping the seafloor in the same place where an eruption had happened, and the lava flows were so thick that they made big depth changes. And then, you know, that was confirmed by sending a camera down and finding that, there were new lava flows everywhere. There was a depth change. So, we can also detect them in real time with hydrophones in the ocean that they actually, when earthquakes happen underwater, they actually make sound, and those can be detected by hydrophones. And or if you're lucky enough to have seismometers on the seafloor where an eruption's happening, that of course detects them too.
Is it possible there's been a deeper eruption than the one you documented? We just don't know about it.
It's certainly possible. There's a limited number of places on Earth that are deeper than that. You know, either deep rifts or spreading centers, so that kind of limits the possibilities. But yeah, there's certainly still a lot going on in the deep ocean that we just can't detect and aren't aware of.
We were talking to Bill Chadwick here on the Jefferson Exchange, marine geologist at Oregon State University and NOAA's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, part of a team that discovered and confirmed the eruption of a volcano 14,700 feet under the surface of the Pacific in the Mariana Back Arc. We'll get into what that is in just a moment. You can join our conversation with questions and comments on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So I want to make it clear, this is not the Mariana Trench we're talking about, all 7 miles deep. What is the Mariana Back Arc?
Right, good distinction. So in the Mariana area, so that's where Guam is located. There's a plate boundary there where two plates are converging, and one is going under the other. So it's like, in the Pacific Northwest, where offshore we've got the Juan Fuca plate going under the North American plate, and that generates the Cascade Range of volcanoes. So the difference in the Mariana area is the two plates are oceanic crust instead of in the Northwest. We've got an oceanic plate offshore and, of course, our continental plate that we live on. So over there, there's two oceanic plates, so there's no big edge of the continent. Instead, there's just a chain of mostly submarine volcanoes above where the plates are colliding. So the trench is formed where the one plate is diving down. That's the Pacific plate. And as it dives down, it makes really deep seafloor. And then to the west of that, then there's a chain of active volcanoes that are mostly submarine volcanoes, but they're cones like the Cascades. And then to the west of that, in the upper plate is spreading behind that chain of volcanoes. So that forms a linear chain of deep basins that we call the Mariana back arc, because it's back behind the arc.
And the plate is actually stretching there or something like that?
Right. So there's actually seafloor spreading going on there. So there's a lot going on in that region. So there's volcanism in the arc. There's also volcanism in the back arc, but they're very different in character, because one is kind of a seafloor spreading environment and the other is a volcanic arc environment that is more explosive and has a wider range of compositions, like the Cascades. The back arc eruptions are more like Hawaiian eruptions, mostly fluid lava flows.
Okay. Now, the article was first published in October, but the work goes back several years. I mean, when was the eruption first suspected, and when did it likely happen?
Right. So this was a case where we had no idea an eruption had happened. We were actually exploring the area for hydrothermal vents, which are seafloor hot springs, a big part of the back arc had never been explored before. And we remapped the seafloor. This was one of those cases where luck came into play. So we remapped the seafloor, sent an underwater vehicle down to do more high-resolution mapping and take some photos. And in those photos, there was this pristine lava flow in some of them. We had temperature sensors on the vehicle, and there were temperature anomalies, so the lava flow was still warm, obviously, it was very young. And then we went and compared the bathymetry of the area to the most recent time that area had been surveyed. And so we were able to bracket, and there were indeed big depth changes right where the lava flows are located. And we were, between those two surveys, we were able to bracket it between 2013 and 2015. And we were there in late 2015.
So are you actually looking at the stuff that comes out of the submersible vehicles? Are they bringing things back to you in real time, or do you have to wait for them to return with data and
well,
pictures?
We used two different vehicles, one on two different expeditions. So the first one was a vehicle that we send down, and it does surveys and then comes back up, and we look at the data and the photos. So that, and on the second expedition, we had a remotely operated vehicle, which goes down on a cable from the ship, and you get live video, and you're controlling it from a control room on the ship. And you can see, drive around and see and take samples and so forth.
So, I mean, was there some celebration going on? I mean, I can just imagine when you're seeing things you didn't necessarily expect to see, you're
right,
going, wow,
right.
Look at this.
It's always exciting to, discover something you didn't know was there. And, it made for an interesting story, because something we didn't expect. But, that was, very few eruptions like this have been discovered in that kind of environment. And as you said at the beginning, it's the deepest historical eruption in the deep sea that we've been able to document. So that was kind of special too.
We keep looking for comparisons here to make. The best one we can come up with from our own region is that this is basically the depth of Mount Shasta plus 500 some odd feet. to actually submerge the whole mountain. So this is a deep, deep ocean.
Right. In this area of the Mariana Back Arc, where the plates are spreading, there's not much magma making it up to the surface, so it forms these deep valleys that go way deep, and when this eruption happened at the bottom of one of those valleys.
Our guest again is Bill Chadwick from Oregon State University's Marine Science Program. He's a ocean geologist. He also works with NOAA's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, part of a team that discovered a volcano 14,700 feet under the surface of the Pacific Ocean in the Mariana Back Arc, not the Mariana Trench itself. That's really deep. But you can join us with questions and comments and observations about this discovery of volcanism deep, deep in the ocean. 800-838-3760 by phone. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you had some inkling that this was the place to look, and you had some previous some descriptions, some information about that area. It seems like there's probably a lot more of the ocean we still don't know much about, though.
Yeah, for sure. What we've been doing is exploring areas that we think are particularly active, and that gives us a better chance of finding interesting things. So, for example, in the Mariana Arc, not the back arc now, but in the adjacent arc where there's a chain of cones, a little bit earlier we stumbled across one of the volcanoes that was actually erupting while we were there, and it turns out it was in the kind of a long phase of erupting over many years, and we were able to go back multiple times and see that happening. That was a lot shallower than this one we've been discussing in the back arc. That was at about 500 meters, so that's about 1,700 feet deep, so closer to the surface.
That's a very pointy peak then, isn't it?
Right. So that was super exciting. And then we've also been working a lot closer to home, just offshore the coast of Oregon, about 300 miles west of Astoria. There's another plate boundary where two plates are spreading apart. That's called the Juan de Fuca Ridge. And there's active volcanoes all up and down the ridge. And in the middle of it, there's a bigger seamount because there's a hot spot there, that meaning that it has an extra robust magma supply, so it has grown bigger, kind of like the Hawaiian Islands, but smaller, obviously because it's not an island. But there's a whole chain of these seamounts that go off to the northwest, and the youngest one is called Axial Seamount, mm-hmm. And we do a lot of work there because it's easy to get to from our west coast ports, and also it's been very active. It's erupted three times in the last 20 years, and it has hydrothermal vents, and that those are impacted by the eruption. So there's lots of interesting interactions going on, and so much so that the National Science Foundation has funded a fiber optic cable that goes from shore, leaves the coast of Pacific City, and goes out to the seamount, and that provides power and data communication, and then a whole network of instruments are plugged into the cable, so we can actually monitor that volcano from shore, and it's pretty one of the few or probably the most advanced submarine volcano kind of observatory in the world, so that's a very exciting part of our work recently.
Yeah, Axial Seamount seems to get a fair amount of press, and now we understand why. It's not only very active, but also very well covered. Do you get to give a name to the volcano you discovered in the Mariana Back Arc?
We didn't name it. There in the Back Arc, because it's a spreading ridge, there's, it's kind of a line of where eruptions can occur, and they typically don't build up into a cone. That's sort of one feature. So there's kind of less motivation to name individual features because they're kind of subtle. It's more of a ridge than a
sure
than a cone. For
and what is it like down there, Bill? I mean, it's dark with huge pressure. I mean, that's easily understood. But does a submarine volcano erupt kind of like one on land, or is it very different down that far?
Well, lava behaves a bit different underwater, but it doesn't really change with depth. So, you know, shallow eruptions look similar to deep ones. It also depends on the composition of the lava and how fluid it is. So in this case, these were relatively fluid lavas that they form a kind of lava that we call pillow lava because they're kind of form these bulbous shapes formed by the lava coming out relatively slowly and kind of inflating these little balloon-shaped things with a hard crust on the outside.
I was going to ask about that because I noticed there's a certain poetry to the term glassy young pillow lava.
Yeah, and the composition is called basalt, which is the same as is erupted in Hawaii. And so it forms, when it comes out, the hot lava, you know, the cold seawater chills the outside of the lava very quickly. So it actually forms a natural glass on the surface. So that's why they're super shiny and reflective, but also black. So it's quite a sight.
Well, it does sound like something. So now with these, since it's obviously exuding some heat, I mean, do the somewhat more comfortable temperatures encourage sea creatures to hang around these areas?
Yeah, well, there's a whole class of microbes and animals that actually live around seafloor hot springs, and they're not dependent on the energy from the sun like most life on Earth is. They actually get energy from the chemical energy coming out of the earth. So this is called chemosynthesis instead of photosynthesis. Sorry. That was a mouthful. And at pretty much all seafloor hot springs, there's a community of these unusual animals and microbes that are actually making a living around the vents. And there's comparatively, it's like an oasis in the deep sea where there's a huge amount of life in a small area because there's so much energy for them to grow and feed on. In contrast to most of the deep sea, which is kind of barren, and you know, most animals are just relying on what little food drops from the ocean surface. You know, so there's crabs and fish, but not very many. And because there's not a lot of food coming down.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple seconds left, Bill. What's the next step in the research at this site?
We have explored the southern half of the Mariana Back Arc, and we've recently gotten funding to go back in a few years and explore the northern half. So, again, mostly for discovering new hydrothermal vents and the animals there, but who knows, we might find some more eruptions.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of things to find down there. Okay, Bill Chadwick, a marine geologist at Oregon State University and NOAA's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, one of the discoverers of the deepest volcanic eruption in the ocean. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You bet. It's been a pleasure.